Okay, good evening. Today is May 1st, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's step study is step two, and our speaker tonight is Lynn S. Thank you, Lynn.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada, and I was asked to do this today, and I was thrilled. And it's been like the thoughts in my head, it's been like herding cats. It's been really funny because I haven't spoken on a topic for a while. And I thought, gosh, you know, I started reading them, and there's so much power in step two, and so much power in we agnostics. And I was getting all muddled, and I thought, you know, Lynn, it's not about teaching the message out of the big book, like just forget all that. But what I do have is I have my own experience, strength, and hope in how I came to believe in a power greater than myself. And I thought, I know my story. And you know, it's not my story. That was the problem before. I thought it was my story, but it's really God's story. And isn't that apropos, you know, when you hear things like that, and here we are talking about step two. Anyway, if we could show my pictures, that's great. And if we can't, that's fine too. It doesn't matter to me. Oh, I blanked. There I am. Okay, so that was when I was 7 years old. And I can remember I was so mortified to have this round Brillo hairdo and my round face. And you can't tell, but I'm squeezed into that dress and the seams hurt my sides, you know, and then the leotards that I'm wearing are so tight. And I just, you know, I'm all in red, which is lovely, but I felt like I stood out like a sore thumb, and I just wanted to go home and eat. And the next picture, please. Thank you. There I am at 11. My grandparents are hosting a birthday party for me, and I'm standing there holding this ginormous vanilla slab cake, and I'm feeling ginormous. And, you know, I'm not really smiling there, but my mom had the bun pulled so tight in my head that it makes your mouth go like that anyway, you know, and this smile thing because everything's so tight. And I was just dying. I was so embarrassed, and my grandmother was so mortified to have this fat granddaughter. And I'm holding this slab cake, and all I wanted to do was a fork and go hide with me in the cake. That's all I wanted to do. The next one, please. Thank you. There I am. I was working for my boss. We were in sales and marketing for condominiums, but she happened to have horses, and I used to work with horses, so she had asked me if I could help out, and I said yes. And all I can remember there, aside from being, you know, somebody commented that they couldn't tell the difference between my bum and the horse's bum. So that's always helpful, you know, when people feel a need to say things like that. But what I'm really looking at is I can remember the pain of my legs stuffed in those boots. And I don't know if you can see just down at the very, very bottom of the picture, but the boots are squinched up because my calves were so big. I couldn't get my leg properly in the boot, and it hurt so much. And I was there for hours and hot and working with these horses. The next one, please. Thank you. This is a picture of my mom's birthday, and my mom, myself, and my dad. And I didn't have a coat that fit, so my mother lent me hers, which didn't fit either, but at least it was appropriate that I would be wearing a coat, and I was. And the same thing with this, like I just look in my eyes and my face, I was just dead. I didn't want to be there, but how could you not be there on your mom's birthday? And to just always be standing out, but never for the good reasons. Do you know what I mean? And again, the feet were killing me in that one. And this was 1 month before I came into program, April the 6th. I came in May the 9th. And the last one, please. Here I am. Okay, this was at a friend's wedding. And I just, you know, I just look at the eyes. And I used to, you know, when you're that size, you don't even bother looking to see if you're the heaviest person there because you always are, you know what I mean? But just It's the being dead, the walking dead, being dead, not wanting to be there, not wanting not to be there, just wanting it to be over and wonder what they're serving. And if I wasn't eating that particular day, then wondering when could I get out of here and go somewhere and eat my face off because of the mortification. So thank you. Thank you so much. I like to show those because I hope, I know for me when I came in, I needed to see hope. I needed to see that there, that physical recovery was possible. I just needed that. But for me, it's such a great reminder because that was 34 years ago. I came in when I was 36. And in a couple of years, I'm going to be in program as long as I wasn't in program. So I'll be at zero then, which is good when you're 70. It's nice to start over and be back at zero again. So anyway,
15 minutes left, Lynn.
Holy moly. Okay, thank you. Better get on with the show. Anyway, thank you so much for showing that. This meeting is very important to me, and the idea of choose your own conception of God and step two came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. How I came into program was I was standing in my kitchen and I was cutting up celery sticks and carrot sticks to go into this lunch because the piece of paper said it was 2 ounces of cottage cheese and some vegetables for lunch, and I couldn't stand cottage cheese anymore. So I was putting caraway seeds in it and I started to cry and I thought, you know, I can't live like this anymore. And I can't eat like this anymore. And I can't live like this anymore. It can't be that God looked down and said, I want everybody in the world to be happy except for you, Lynn Skilling, and I want you to be absolutely miserable. And I had no relationship with God at all. So where that thought came, I don't know. But that led, and I'm going to really, I got to speed it up a little bit here. So that led me into finding OA. I was so lucky. I got zapped overnight. And in addition to having the obsession with food lifted, swearing, stealing, lying, cheating, and littering was all lifted as well. I used to sound like a drunken sailor. My language was so foul, and my opinions were so raw. And my attitude was so awful. And I got zapped overnight, and getting zapped overnight did a wonderful thing for me because that gave me a conception of God, because I prayed the night before saying, God, please help me. I can't sleep through the night. I get up in the middle of the night and I go and eat. And that didn't happen that night. When my eyes popped open and I thought, here I am again, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to end up down at the gas station getting binge foods. And it didn't happen. It was 7:30. And it was like, that was God. And I was changed. I don't know. I was struck abstinent. I was changed. There was a transformation. And I got to build my own concept of God because I'd never known a God. All I'd done was mocked people who believed in God. So there never was a God for me. So I got to make up my own conception, which it was a kind, loving father. And I God wanted the best for me. And it was wonderful. And that's how I went. Like, God graced me with so much. And there's a part in step two where it says, they're talking about people who, you know, are agnostic or atheist. And must they renounce all of this to save themselves? And you know what? Yes. Not just that attitude towards God or towards religion or anything like that, but the attitude towards God. But I surrendered everything, because my life was so miserable. There wasn't one single thought in my head that was worth retaining. So I surrendered everything, my work, my job, my thoughts, my feelings, my relationships, absolutely everything. Anything I put in my mouth, I had no idea what to eat, but I got guided. I got guided and I knew certain things and I knew about the binge behaviors. I knew I couldn't walk around and eat. I knew I had to sit down and eat. I knew I couldn't sit in front of the TV. Why? Because that's where I did all my binging. But to turn all that over to God was an amazing experience, but it was all very superficial. Because I didn't have any knowledge yet. But what's so amazing about step two is, and this is what I love, and I often hear in the podcasts that I listen to, and the amazing strong women in program that I hear. And they say, you know, we tell people you're absolutely powerless over food. And then we hand them a piece of paper or a food plan and say, now follow this. Well, how are we supposed to? We don't have the power. That's the whole problem. Lack of power was our dilemma. I had no power. But God zapped me. And when I got zapped and changed overnight and developed this instant relationship with something that I called God, it says the minute we even accept the idea that there might be something bigger than ourselves, the minute we do that, very gently, this power starts to flow in. And that's what gives us the ability before we've even worked the steps to put the food down. I often wondered about that. Well, how do you get from being powerless before you've even worked the steps? But it says it right there. And I wrote it out and I can't find it. But one of the things too, it says, I only had to stop fighting. Like the minute I stopped arguing, I could begin to see, to hear, to feel right
Ten
there.
Minutes.
Step two, thank you. Very gently began to infiltrate my life. I only had to stop fighting. Oh my God, I was so glad to stop fighting. I fought my whole life. I fought everything. I fought the food, my parents, other people, work. I'd fought the weight. I lost, I started losing 100 pounds when I was 16. My bounce was 140 pounds up and down and up and down. And I was so powerless. I was so powerless. So I was abstinent for about 17 years, and they were a good 17 years. They really were. But then I got more relying on me. I began to, you know, do it myself without even realizing I was doing that. I began to be more self-reliant, more, yeah, I know how it goes. I know the program. I got it. Well, I didn't got it. And I went into a terrible, terrible 8-year relapse. It was the worst period of my life. I think there's nothing worse than being in program and knowing it does work and then losing it. And I couldn't get it back. I tried everything. I tried so hard. And in that period of the 8-year relapse, I had 3 medallions, 2 1-year medallion and 1 2-year medallion. But there was no recovery. I was stark raving abstinent, and that's all I was. And it was the worst time of my life. And it talks about in step two, it talks about, you know, like the people who had their faith and then lost it, they're baffled and they're confused. And that was me. I could not understand why I couldn't get it back. But you know, what I had wasn't good enough to sustain me in the first place, or I wouldn't have been there. It wasn't enough. It wasn't the relationship with God that he asks for. It wasn't that. And that's why. And I remember I paid a fortune to go to this retreat, wellness spa. And I was driving up to the wellness spa, binging my face off, crying, saying this was not my plan to come to this spa and spend all this money and be binging. That wasn't my plan. So when I got there, I went up to my room and I said, God, please help me. I don't understand what I'm going to do. I've tried every single thing I can do and I cannot get it back. And I said, I'm going to be like Ebby. Not that I'm comparing myself to Ebby. I don't mean that. But what I meant was, you know, whatever happened to Lynn S. Well, she choked to death on a Twinkie. You know, she helped all these people, but she couldn't get it back. And that's what I was afraid. You know, I know it, we're all aware of Ebby's story and him being drunk until the very, very end. And I actually met the guy who sobered up Ebby when I was in Akron. That was pretty neat. But anyway, I remember praying to God and I went up to my room and I said, I don't know what to do. And as I sat there, I started writing out the steps by memory, and it's as if I took them. That's the second time God sent in a big way his search and rescue mission out to get me. And he picked me up from that point, and I was abstinent again, just like that. But it wasn't just like that. It was 8 years of the worst experience of my life. And again, totally surrendering and giving up and saying, God, I give up. I don't know. And, you know, I often wonder what really happened to me, but it talks about it on page 32. It says, the fact was we really hadn't cleaned house so that the grace of God could enter us and expel the obsession. In no deep or meaningful sense had we ever taken stock of ourselves, made amends to those we had harmed, or freely given to any other human being without any demand for reward. The love of God and man we understood not at all. Therefore, we remained self-deceived, and I was self-reliant and self-righteous and self-absorbed, and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So then I was abstinent for just coming up to a 10-year stretch. But, you know, I was abstinent, but I wasn't in recovery near the end. I was living in relapse, and I'd stopped doing the do things. And I was incapable of receiving enough grace to restore me and keep me in sanity. And I went out for 6 days. And this last time was really horrific, those 6 days. And the reason they were so horrific was because I didn't want to stop. I did not want to stop. I did not want to stop binging. I didn't care about being abstinent, cared about being vegan, but I didn't care about being abstinent. I didn't care about the relationship with God. As far as I was concerned, I had a phenomenal relationship with God. The problem was in step five, it tells us about our spiritual alignment, which is God, ourselves, and another human being. And God and I were tight. I was levitating with God all the time, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I wasn't doing? Wasn't doing anything that he'd asked me to do. I wasn't working with others. I wasn't maintaining or enlarging my spiritual condition through work and self-sacrifice for others. I wasn't doing any of that. My constant thought was not on others and how I could meet their needs. My constant thought was on me and why was I so miserable and I couldn't understand it and must be because of COVID and I'm so lonely and I'm crying every day. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand that I'd lost my relationship with God, or I was losing it in the way that I need to be in recovery in this program. And what God asks of me is to devote myself to him, which I love doing. I must say, I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I love doing it. But to do his work, which is what he wants us to do, is to self-sacrifice for others, is to go out and find the still suffering person and help them, is to extend our hand to help each other. And I wasn't doing any of that. And even though I didn't want to be rescued, God did rescue me. I am so grateful. And now, and this is what I'm so pleased about, I have a totally different idea about the whole relationship with God, because I heard it through these meetings and through Recovery Jam and through Miracles and through Cherry Hill and through Cornwall. I heard all these amazing, strong women talking about their relationship with God and how they say that a sponsor's job is to take the sponsee's hand and put it in God's hand, and how to read the first 164 pages of our text and realize the whole point of this book is to develop a relationship with God, a relationship that works, that keeps us in recovery, that keeps us doing the work that God has outlined for us. I truly believe the big book was channeled by God through Bill Wilson. I really do believe that. I believe that's an outline for how I'm to live my life. I came to believe in a power greater than myself that would restore me to sanity. He's restored me to sanity 3 times that I'm aware of, and I'm sure 100 bazillion in between that I wasn't. And what's so wonderful is there's still so much more to come. The depth and weight of our relationship with God is phenomenal. I have no power. I have no power at all. The power comes from God. The power is God's grace in and through me. And how do I get that? By every day doing the same thing, doing my quiet time with God, connecting with God, asking, how can I best serve you? What is it you want me to do today? What is it you want me to say? Please put people in my life. It used to be, please put people in my life you want me to help. He said, Lynn, go out there and find them. I'm not going to do everything for you. And it's just so wonderful. being restored to sanity, that emotional sobriety takes a long time. I can't do it without God, and I can't do it without you. That's my spiritual alignment, God, me, and another human being. And I think that's all I have. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thanks, Linus. That was awesome. You definitely had an open, honest share. I appreciate that. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares, as this is a big book study. Sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time is up? If the speaker is asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. And at 8:47, we will stop the recording. Okay. Heidi B., welcome.
Hi. I don't know. Did I? Okay. Sorry.
Oh.
Heidi. Someone asked me to unmute. I thought I was the host. So, Lynn, thank you so much. Thank you for jumping in and doing service. So grateful to you. And there's so much that you said that I, you know, relate to. I also, you know, gained and lost and gained and lost 100 pounds and. You know, it's taken me a long time and I still continue to develop that relationship with a higher power. But I certainly didn't like the idea. And when I was in relapse, you know, I very distinctly remember thinking like, I don't want the answer to be God, you know, like I didn't like that option. And it was almost as if I would rather have been in misery, and I was for 6 years, you know. And so, you know, think I don't know what exactly made me willing, but I'm really grateful for the grace that I got in that moment that I became willing. And, you know, and I love We Agnostics because it's like, word, like every word in there, it's like describing me, you know. It's like exactly how I think, exactly what I would have said, and it made sense to me, you know. And so I agree with what you said, that like you know, this book was divinely inspired. I really believe that. I don't think that Bill had any idea what he was actually doing, and you know, and what was gonna come of it. But I'm just grateful to be here, grateful to be your friend, and yeah, thanks so much. I'll pass.
Thanks, Heidi B. And Stephanie, you are up next.
Hi. I'm Stephanie R., recovered in Missouri, and really grateful to hear you, Lynn. Just, you know, I was just really, really touched by your share. I think for me, the way I really related was the just the sense of not feeling okay in my own skin, and not really understanding the importance of really turning my life over to a power greater than myself. When I first came into program, I learned what it was to be abstinent, and that was for me 3 meals a day and life in between. And it wasn't until I really understood what recovery meant, which was the spiritual program, the spiritual aspect of my life. And I came in really thinking that you know, I didn't know if there was a power greater than myself. I didn't know if there was a God. I looked at myself as an agnostic, but I see myself having a very strong relationship with God. And I believe that this God loves me in a way that I could never have imagined I could experience that love in the past. I just have such a sense of belonging when I come to these meetings, because I do realize the importance of reaching out to others. I was very much into isolation. I hid from others. I stayed, I had no self-confidence. I had very small voice. And OA taught me how to become authentically myself and learn what my voice was. And by that, by being able to do that, I was able to reach my hand to others and actually help others as I helped myself. So I'm just really grateful. I was really touched by your share. And I'm really glad I tuned in today. And thank you so much for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks, Stephanie. Leslie G., your turn.
Hi, family. Leslie G., recovered one day at a time by the good grace of God. And that's totally God. Lynn, I so loved your share. I cannot thank you enough. There you are, hon. Hi. I related so much to it. And the first thing that stood out, The Walking Dead. I was such a walking dead. I just lived my life in doing. Not all of us walk in being really big. I was not big. I don't even know if I needed to gain weight. All I know is my emotional sobriety became insane. And I remembered these rooms from many, 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 many years ago and came running back. Search and rescue. Absolutely. I went to one meeting like 2 years ago and took down 3 phone numbers, and I still have them. And I call these people, and it's really a miracle. And I too, I'm Jewish. I was taught that God is God, period. Not good, not bad. So it was really hard to come into this program for me to accept that there's a God who is loving, who wants to help me, who wants me to have a life that's truly happy, joyous, and free. And thank God for strong big book meetings, because it took me a long time. And I think we do exactly the same meetings. Well, the ones you mentioned are the ones I go to too. And what really helped me was that complete surrender. Just saying, God, fine, I believe you, because my way's not working. I'm working so hard and it's getting worse. And I just finally said that.
1 minute.
Thank you. All I know is today I talk to God throughout the day, and I just ask him all through the day, how may I best serve thee? Thine will be done. Please keep my will in alignment with yours, because I need to live in his truths, because my brain wants to tell me lies. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Leslie G. And Shira L., you're up.
Hi, everyone. Shira, compulsive overeater, restrictor from New York. Thank you so much, Lynn. What a wonderful story, Shira. Yeah, I love the Walking Dead part. I think that's something that kind of like smacked me in the face and kind of, I guess, subconsciously brought me to program amongst many other subconscious. So that's what it felt like at the time. I remember people like telling me all the time, like, you're so personable, you're so present, you're so in the moment, you're so here. And I would feel like an insane person, because I was not. I was so in my head. I was insane in my brain. I was not there. I was thinking about the food, whatever, even if food wasn't around, I was not there at all in any way. And then step two is, I forget when it says, you know, restoring me to sanity. The opposite of sanity, sometimes I feel like the words, different words, like speak to me more. And insanity is what spoke to me, that I felt like an insane person and I had no idea what to do with that anymore. I didn't know what to do with my insane thoughts. I didn't know. And no one around, if it was so such an insane feeling that no one around me knew anything that was going on. I was never a bigger person. It was just all in my brain. And it made me feel almost crazier, because they had no idea what was going on. And then, yeah, I grew up super religious. No, God was, I guess I believed in him because I was hated him. So I guess you got to believe in a God if you hate it. So I came into program absolutely hating God, so scared of this God, hating God. But it was so beautiful for me. I remember calling my mom and being like, Mom, you know, religion is great for her. God was worked out for her. I remember saying, who would have known that, you know, program would have recondition this beautiful higher power and this God for me to actually to the
One
point,
minute.
thank you, to actually to the point where giving me back my sanity. I need this loving higher power because I cannot live on this earth without this higher power thing. And the first few months of program, I couldn't even say the word God, which I don't know, sometimes certain words again are just, you know, in my head a bigger thing. But yeah, the sanity, the insanity, and the restoring to sanity is something that is hard to believe. And it's so easy to do, and it's so hard to do at the same time. Just let go, give it up, pass, speak to God. And life is beautiful when I do. So thank you so much again for your story and share.
Thanks, Shira. Kimberly L., you're up.
Hi, it's Kimberly. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic, and I was struggling with the unmute. Sorry about that. Lynn, thank you so much. I had the pleasure of hearing you tell your story recently, and it was just so inspirational to me. And, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at your pictures, thinking, of course, about myself. But I was looking at your pictures, and we're moving. And so I'm in the process of like going through a lot of old stuff. And I was looking at pictures of myself, and I never got really big except for when I was pregnant. It's like the many different weights and the many different phases of this eating disorder that I've been through. And it doesn't matter. Like it's all different. It's all different in every picture. You know, I came to my first meeting when I was 17 in 1987. And yes, it is horrible when you have received relief from working this program and being abstinent, and then you go back into the food and you're not abstinent. It is hell. It is pure hell. You know, and we've been talking tonight about being restored to sanity. And by the grace of God, I have been restored to sanity in so many areas of my life. But I was talking to a fellow today, and there are two areas in my life that I really need to talk to my sponsor about that I'm seeing that there's a little bit of insanity in it. It's more behaviors. It's not actually what I'm doing. It's more behaviors. And that scared me. I was just on the phone with her like an hour ago, and it really just scared me. And, you know, we have a lot going on in our lives right now, a lot of change. We're moving. I'm starting a new job. It's like all of the million stressors that you can have. And it's sometimes hard for me. Thank you. It's sometimes very hard for me to remember that God is in charge. And when I do, it's so beautiful. And I feel like I'm on a different plane. But I have to say, the last couple of days, I have been struggling because I have lost that different plane. And so tonight after this meeting, I'm going to fall asleep to a meditation. I'm going to do extra prayer meditation in the morning. I'm going to speak to my sponsor about these two behaviors and get back to the juice of this program. You know, it's the fuel of this program. For me, that's the good stuff. You know, I don't have a story where I've lost all this weight and look at me, I look pretty. I mean, that's not the case. I gained weight in this program. You know, the juice is being free and being helpful and being there for others and being smart and having something to add to life and having a relationship with my children.
It's time.
Thank you.
I am going to ask the Zoom host to stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares.